Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world of the paranormal.
With Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, explore the world of UFOs, demons, ghosts, and even Bigfoot.
Only on blogtalkradio.com and KITCFM 106.5 and KNCPFM 107.3. Good evening, everyone. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons Radio Show.
Another exciting episode for us.
Absolutely. We broadcast every week, and it's always wonderful to have all these people come forward that are willing to take time to talk with us, Jason.
Yes, I'm excited about our guest tonight because I missed it last time he was on, I believe.
Yes, Frank Bennett, and he is graciously agreed to be on the show again. He's written a book, Encounter with the Aberdeen Wildman, a true story.
Wildman.
Yeah, so he'll tell us about that. And then there's other information in the book, too. It goes further than just about the Aberdeen Wildman. There's information on UFOs and things like that. So we have the opportunity to talk with Frank about that tonight as well.
Did he talk about the Wildman last time he was on? Like,
yeah.
What is the Wildman? Because I know when I go camping, I'm pretty wild.
Well, no, it's not like crazy guys out in a campsite. We'll let him tell us. Now, we don't want to give too much away because it is a great book. So, but he'll kind of give us the basics on it. And then also our friend R.L. Demery is going to call in later. He was the guest host that night because you were unavailable. And he has a couple more questions for Frank as well that he didn't get to ask that night.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate him doing that.
I know. They're very nice. I mean, both of these guys are on the East Coast, so it's way later for them. You know, we're still looking at the sunshine here on the West Coast.
Super nice on the West Coast.
Ooh, man.
We should have set everything up outside so we can get some sun rays.
Let's do that next week.
Yeah, we should.
Unless it's raining.
Well, you know my vitamin D is like at critical low levels, so.
Yeah, we need to work on that. Yeah. Well, what's going on? Any interesting news stories? You keep up on that stuff more than I do, Jason, because you're smarter than me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. So there's always stuff going on, and sometimes it's hard to navigate through what's real and what's not. But I did find the story that's been circulating on mainstream media, and that's never really common. You know, it's not very often something paranormal gets out there on all the news stations.
True.
But and this one's kind of out there. So basically what this is there is a new way that's been circulating. It originated on Twitter, a new way to summon demons if you want. Yeah?
What?
Yeah, if you're interested in summoning if you're interested in summoning a mythical Mexican demon. Without a Ouija board. This is like a homemade Ouija board.
Oh, no.
And now there's videos all over YouTube of people doing it, and it's kind of entertaining to watch.
Did you watch the YouTube video?
I watched a compilation of several videos, and I was rather entertained. But as you know, I'm a skeptic. So
yeah, but we don't like Ouija board stuff either.
No, I don't. I won't. I'm skeptical, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Well, so what were you able? I guess I don't understand exactly how they do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you how they do it.
Okay.
So basically, what you do, and this is kind of like a poor man's Ouija board. So two pencils, just imagine two pencils, if you will, regular number twos, and you have a piece of paper, and you take that piece of paper and you divide it into four sections.
Okay.
So you have a line going down the center, and then across of it. You take these two pencils and you place them in the center of this paper where the lines intersect, and you set the pencils on top of each other. So one is balancing on top of the other. It just kind of lays there, right? And on this piece of paper, you write yes, no in each of the four quadrants.
All right.
Okay, so basically the top pencils barely balance on the bottom pencil,
and
it can move to one of these boxes to indicate a yes or no answer. So what we're seeing in the videos is, and when you're doing this on this poor man's Ouija board, you have to say a certain thing. because you're summoning the specific demon.
Oh,
and
dear.
I'm skeptical. I don't even want to say this because I'm afraid when I go home at night, I'm going to have some sort of like ethereal entity follow me home. But this is what you say. And we are taking no responsibility for this if any of the listeners summon a demon.
Okay.
So we're exonerating ourselves. We do not recommend or suggest this activity. This is just a news report.
Good. I'm glad you clarified that.
So now that you've got your pencils balanced on your sheet of paper with the yes and no's, you say, "Charlie, Charlie, are you here?" And then you get a response. And what's supposed to happen is the pencil is supposed to move to indicate an answer, yes or no. So if you are playing this, there are a lot of videos out there that show the pencil moving and then people freaking out and running out of the room. My argument is it does not take a lot of breath to move the pencil. That's what I'm thinking. But I'm not one to say whether it's real or not.
Right.
And also with any Ouija board activity, if you do decide to do that and your pencil starts spinning, you want to make sure that you say goodbye. That's like the most important thing in any Ouija board session is be sure to say goodbye.
Well, and then I guess the idea is if Charlie is there, then you could ask more questions.
Yeah, it'd be like a yes or no
kind
thing.
Kind of like the Ouija board.
Yeah, and I did see one video where the pencil didn't move, but a bunch of books on the couch behind the guy shot off.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think people are – this is like one of these fat – when you grew up, did you ever play that the Bloody Mary thing, you know?
No.
Were you standing in front of the mirror?
Oh, yeah. I was too scared to.
Yeah.
But so it was one time I was at a slumber party, and some of the girls were doing it, and I got all freaked out.
Well, I did it, and guess what happened? Absolutely nothing.
I was going to say it answered you, and you got really scared.
No, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But I haven't done the Charlie thing, but, you know, I try and stay away from that sort of thing.
I know. I don't like that either. But anyway, if you're just tuning in here to Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons radio show, every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time, and we rebroadcast this show on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Pacific time on KITCFM.com and KNCPFM.com. So Frank Bennett, is he in the queue?
He is in the queue. Let's bring him up.
Yeah, let's talk to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Well, howdy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am glad to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. No, you're on Paranormal Horizons.
That too.
Thank you. Now, Frank, you and I had the opportunity to meet in person at the Oregon City Ghost Conference, and then you were on our show about, oh gosh, over a month ago, but you didn't get to meet my co-host, Jason, so meet over the radio.
Hi.
Jason, what's up?
Yeah, so
I'm excited to hear about this wild man thing because I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and you know, also Frank, we were checking out your website as well.
Oh yeah.
And is that something we can also talk with you about tonight after we talk a little bit about the book?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
And just so you know, I personally am totally into conspiracy theories and biblical revelations and all that stuff.
He's kind of upset.
I'm like a conspiracy theory dictionary.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, Frank, last time we had you on the show, R.L. Demery was my guest co-host. He is going to call in as well in a while because he's got a couple more questions for you that he didn't get to ask you that first night.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And then we can all, like in Scary Movie, we can all sit on the phone together and go, "What's up?"
Well, I don't think I can say that as good as you do. I don't know. Let's try it. One, two, three. What's up?
What's up?
I was too busy trying to get the cat sound in there.
I know. Yeah. So anyway, Frank, listen, Encounter with the Aberdeen Wild Man, a true story. I know you've told the audience about it before, but we know there's new people on, and Jason hasn't heard us. Can you kind of give us the basics of what happened that day you encountered the Aberdeen Wild Man?
The Aberdeen Wild Man is a humanoid creature I encountered on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay back in 1981, and that's near about where I grew up at. And he's the culmination of and the epitome of all the paranormal activity I had grown up with up to that point as a teenager. To make the story brief, we had a half day from school. It's middle of winter. Darn cold outside. As a matter of fact, I think the cold is the reason why school was let out early that day. And in that winter, most of the lakes and the rivers had frozen over in Maryland. The bay didn't completely freeze over, but most of the lakes and rivers did. And I got this thing where, you know, I like to go trekking out on frozen lakes and rivers. It's just a thing. And
yeah,
I decided to walk on this one river all the way down to the, you know, all the way down to the Chesapeake Bay, where it empties out into the marshes. And so I got about as far as nature would take me before the ice cracked, and I fell through and, you know, got myself soaked up to about my pants pockets and had to get out of the water. And there I was in the marshes. And, I trekked along about as good as I could with frozen legs. And there I am standing at the edge of the marshes, about as far as I could possibly go without stepping back into the water again. And I'm enjoying nature. And I suddenly notice that I could hear nothing anymore. I couldn't hear nature. I couldn't hear birds. I couldn't hear wildlife anymore. Everything kept very still. And I don't even recall if I heard the wind rustling through the grasses. Everything just got real still. And then I got this notion that something was behind me. I got this notion that somebody was watching me, and I had this notion to turn around. And when I did, I'm looking down this kind of pre-cut pathway, like it's a very heavily trodden pathway, probably on the order of about 100 feet, I think, and that's an estimation. And at the end of it is this island that sits by itself out in the middle of the marshes, you know, just littered with trees. And peering at me through the brush on this island is this humanoid creature. And the look in his face honestly looked like some, you know, wacko on a meth trip. He was looking at me like, what are you doing in my place? What are you doing here? And he really looked like he was going to whoop up some badness on me.
Uh-oh.
And so we stood there and we stared at each other for, it really had to be every bit of about a minute, I think, because time really didn't go very well for me there. And I had a bayonet with me. And I had it with me because, you know, things can happen to you out and about in the woods, and it's just always nice to bring protection. And that's sound advice for men while they're dating, too. Always bring protection. Now, in this particular case, I had a bayonet with me. And, it's my dad's bayonet. He didn't fight the Japanese or anything like that. He just happened to have a bayonet. So I took it with me. And to move the situation along, I put my hand on the handle of the bayonet. And when I did, this creature launched in this real fit of rage. He started running all over the island. And I can hear him hollering and screaming the whole time. And the voice he was screaming with was not that of a creature or a wild animal. It was that of a man, a very deeply throated man. And, and it further reinforced my thinking, hey, this is some weirdo hanging out in the marshes just on some trip or something. And this went on for about maybe 20 seconds or more. And then he reappeared back into the same spot he was before, stared at me for probably another 5 seconds or more, maybe 10. And then he literally just shot up into the trees about 10, maybe 15 feet of direct vertical leap into the trees. And then I saw him thrashing back and forth all through the branches of the trees. I mean, he was pretty high up, very high up.
Yeah,
all through the branches of the trees, and I could see these big maples and these big oaks pitching and yawing with his weight as he went through the trees. And he just went down basically the course of the outside of the island through the trees until eventually disappearing off in the distance. And when he eventually disappeared off and I couldn't hear him anymore, I began to hear the telltale sounds of dogs on various properties that surrounded the marshes going off. In succeeding order, like something was running all along the properties, just setting the dogs off. And that was my encounter with the Aberdeen Wild Man.
Wow. Now, did you name him the Aberdeen Wild Man?
I did not. When you're a teenager and you're still still baking, you're like dough that hasn't risen in the oven yet. You're still baking. You don't know what to make of stuff like this. I didn't know really what to do with it. Didn't know. All I knew was I was scared and I had to get out of there. And about, I would say, within about a year, some friends of ours from further up the way, it's a place called Edgewood, came down to visit us, and it was a couple that were friends with my mom. This lady's husband, they were fighting at the time, so they didn't want to be in the same room. So there I am sitting there watching Saturday Night Live by myself. And, you know, his name's Tim. Tim comes and sits with me to watch Saturday Night Live because he and his wife don't get along and they don't want to be in the same room. So I'm sitting there with him watching Saturday Night Live. We strike up a conversation. And, you know, I kind of, you know, I didn't want to be labeled an idiot or something, which is easy in my family. And so I kind of thought I could trust to tell Tim this kind of thing. And I did, and he picked up and looked into the kitchen and said, "Hey, honey, Frank saw the wild man."
Oh, my
gosh.
And
that's when he told me that a creature just like this was sighted on the Aberdeen Proving Grounds nearby and had actually ravaged through their fields and through their commissary, and it was spotted by two other officers on the grounds. And that's where I got the name, the Aberdeen Wild Man.
Since that's close to the Aberdeen Proving Grounds, is it possible that it's like some escaped genetic military experiment?
Yeah, and I spent a decent little chunk of the book addressing that issue because the Aberdeen Proving Grounds has a storied history. It is our first, it's the nation's first proving grounds. It's where we send all of our experimental testing up until recent times. And they did a ton of chemical experiments, especially on people. So I did strain and drain that subject thoroughly. However, I myself, nor anybody I knew, I also talked to people who've lived in the region for quite a while. None of us ever remember seeing military personnel in that region of the Gunpowder Falls looking for an escaped project, ever. And one would think if they lose something, they would go looking for it.
Yeah.
You would think so. I mean, I would think so. At least they do in the movies. And that's what I base all my reality on, is in the movies.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I just black helicopters everywhere, Jeeps jumping everywhere, and yeah.
Well, so Frank, have you ever come across anybody else other than Tim that encountered the wild man?
No, it was just myself and the two officers from the Proving Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only ones that I am aware of who ever saw it.
Right, interesting. Yeah, and so, and everybody out there, if you want to get more details about the wild man, you can get Frank's book where he covers it in more detail. Frank, where can everybody get your book, by the way?
Well, it's currently available on Amazon. It's doing it very well on Amazon. It's available in Nook. I mean, not Nook. It's available in the Kindle format.
Okay.
For those who are
good.
Signed up with the Kindle Free Program, it's in the Kindle Free Program also. It's available in Barnes & Nobles. And if you give me a few minutes, I've got one propping up the edge of my couch. I can go get you a copy. But otherwise, it's available all over the place. It's even on eBay.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there as we continue to talk, because what I found really interesting about your book is that you talk about the wild man, but then you also talk about other paranormal topics. For example, you know, UFOs, life after death, things like that. So you touch on really just about everything. So it's really a well-rounded book. And then also your website, which is really...
It's intriguing.
Very, very intriguing, Frank. I just got the opportunity to check it out today. And, oh, by the way, Jason, is the chat room open?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So if anybody has any questions, if you're in the chat room, you can throw those out there and we can present them to Frank.
Well, I found out that
Are we going to do the challenge question?
Oh, well, yeah, let's throw that out there now. What is the challenge question, Frank? And somebody will get...
Who's eligible, everybody in chat?
Is everybody,
in chat's eligible. If anybody gets this right, they're going to get a free autographed copy of my book. The kind people hosting tonight will get the information. I'll just mail it out to you directly. Don't sweat the small stuff. But here's the question, and you're going to have fun with this. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Lay
awesome.
Down.
Good. Awesome right now. What number one hit song from the rock and roll era was taken directly, word for word, out of scripture?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tough one.
Okay. Well, you got people from you got multi generations listening to this tonight. Somebody might know that. But it's a number one hit record out of the rock and roll era, and it's lifted word for word out of Scripture.
All right, everybody. Okay. So you can start thinking about that.
Get your Google ready.
I know, Dr. Google. So what number one hit song from the rock and roll era is taken directly from Scripture? If you can answer that correctly, you get a copy of Frank Bennett's book, Encounter with the Aberdeen Wildman, A True Story.
I'm having a hard time not like going
don't
to Google
go
right now.
No, I know.
Make
I
sure
know.
I don't.
Yes,
well, let's
you,
see if the answer
you want is. You want to Google, but you shouldn't.
I shouldn't, so I won't.
You know, we have to use our brains once in a while. But, Frank, I wanted to ask you, we'll get to the website here in a little bit, because your website is very intriguing, which is, if anybody wants to jump over there and check it out, it's Bible, just B-I-B-L-E, by Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T.net. But
yeah.
I noticed in your book, Frank, I was reading the information about UFOs.
Oh, boy, my subject.
Yeah, we love to talk about UFOs. And do you mind giving us your opinion or what you think a UFO is for the audience?
Oh, perfectly. And I'll use as you know, as you read from the book, I've had my own experiences with unidentified flying objects. And I'm not just talking about, you know, growing up Italian and watching meatballs fly around the house. I'm not talking about that. I mean, I ended up on my butt because of one once. But and I've had UFO sightings as recently as just this past year, up in Maine. One example I got for you is actually from the Butler Paranormal Conference. The man who was one of the people who were putting on the cryptozoological conference in Salt Fork, Ohio, came to me and was talking to me about the subject of Ezekiel and the wheel. And this is where the prophet Ezekiel, and this is in the Old Testament, sees this very bizarre object come down from the sky. And it has multi-wheels, multi-spikes, spires, and things like that. And everybody I've talked to thinks this is a UFO. However, further reading, in other words, follow in the next chapter, and it explains that as the spirits within the wheel lifted, so also did the wheel lift. So as the spirits within the spires lifted, so also the spires lifted. So this is actually an angelic formation, where multiple angelics appear in a formation.
Right.
And so thereby, these are what they are duly classified unidentified flying objects, because that's exactly what they are. We have no idea what they are. But for me personally, and everything I study and everything I know, they exhibit all the characteristics spirits are able to exhibit. The ability to transcend space, matter, distance, time, appear in multiple shapes, forms, brightness, darkness, and in individual formations.
So you're saying then what we think of, what maybe the normal person or the person thinks of as a UFO, it's really not an alien, it's a spirit.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Or multiple spirits. And most, you know, it's rare, and this is something that I've been trying to hammer out there at every conference I go to. Rarely, ever, are you ever going to encounter just one spirit in any occasion for anything. It's usually multiple spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before in other discussions, not just about UFOs, but in about, you know, channeling, where, you know, a group of spirits will be, you know, providing information and so forth. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask a question about the UFOs, because that's my area of,
yes,
I don't know if I should say expertise, but before I do that, I don't want to lose track of chat. So there were several responses in chat regarding
the question.
Your question, and I don't listen to music, so I don't even know what it all means.
Okay.
So this may sound like complete and utter gibberish, but if any of these correct, let me know. So
so we had the number one hit song in the rock and roll area that is from Scripture.
Somebody said From Hair, and then somebody said The Birds, then Turn, 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 then there Is a Season. Somebody said Pete Seeger.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Are any of those resonating at all?
Okay. Hair is wrong. Pete Seeger's wrong. The answer to the question is The Birds, 1967, Turn, 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 number one hit record of third quarter of 1967.
So we have a winner.
We do have a winner then.
You have a winner.
Spookman is the winner.
Spookman. Okay, we'll get his information later on and pass on over to Frank to mail him a signed copy of Encounter with the Aberdeen Wildman, a true story by Frank Bennett. Awesome.
Oh, so sorry, I was writing response back.
Oh, yeah. You had a question.
My question is, so with alien abduction, the people that claim that they're being abducted by aliens, those are just spiritual encounters, or how does that work?
They're actually demonic spiritual encounters. Now, the difference between a spirit and a demonic, and this is why I spend a nice little chunk of the portion of the book to categorizing the spirit world as a military formation. There is the weaker and there is the more dominant. These are the spirits who were cast from heaven with Satan back before time. When the earth was first formed. The spirit world has no means of reproduction, so you're dealing with essentially the same spirits over and over again, just putting on a different identity. And there's only so many of them. However, they outnumber mankind in an innumerable fashion. And this type of demonic oppression and harassment goes back many, many centuries. You'll find it with the story of the old hag that comes from antiquities, of the old woman that would climb up into a man's bed and basically get into his face. He's paralyzed in his bed. He can't move. And the incubus and the succubus, they're all the same thing. However, in our modern age, with our modern technology, with spirits trying to find a way to get around the fact that we know more and can identify things more readily, they had to figure out a way to play on our imaginations. And so what better than to imitate either our technology or something more advanced in our technology in doing so? So you have your UFOs, you have your UFO landings, and these abductions are literally a copy of what you found from antiquity. It's the same format all over again.
So what is their objective? Because you have people that tend to have similar stories, taking aboard a craft and having sperm or ova taken and experiments and probes and all this stuff. What would the demon's objective be in having somebody have to go through that?
Think of the psychological damage this does to somebody. Their objective is to win. Their objective is to lead you into your destruction. And if they can't do it one way, they'll find another way. For a lot of these people who have had these abductions, they're ruined for the rest of their lives. They're locked in a stalemate of which they cannot know right from wrong anymore. They have no ability to save themselves, even if it was looking them right in the face. The psychological damage of the result of these abductions and this harassment, this oppression, can last them their entire lives. In the end, the spirits win. They've destroyed this person.
Yeah, actually, there was I saw a story recently of the very famous abduction case of Travis Walton, which was 30 years ago or something. He was logging with a bunch of people. He got abducted, and everybody witnessed it, and there was a big old murder investigation. He ended up showing back up, but he was saying to this day that it still affects him. And this happened years, decades ago, and he's still affected by the experience.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to be seeing him at the Michigan Paracon in August. I think he's one of the guests on the list.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. Yeah. So then basically, just to summarize what we've been talking about UFOs, Frank, your experiences of there, and when someone is abducted, it's a demonic spirit. Or collective of spirits.
And so they can manifest in the physical, right? So that people having physical marks or physical evidence left behind from an abduction?
This is what I did at the Oregon Ghost Conference that to this day still brings me a lot of grief because nobody ever considered this, is that we have seen in the past where spiritual entities have the ability to not only impersonate those who have died, but those who still live. People who have seen a brother or sister or father or mother walk through their house, not say anything to them, and disappear into the back room and get a phone call from that sibling or that parent that they're 20 minutes from getting home. You know, they actually can impersonate living people. They can adopt any form they want to. However, as far as having a physical body, now that's a different thing. A lot of people have had complete, total conversations and interactions with spirit beings without even being aware of the fact that they were spiritual. They have that ability. And when it comes to abductions, they can adopt about any form they please. It's just because of all of our, you know, latter knowledge and technology that they have to shift the game and appear as aliens to tweak our imaginations. And this creates a romance. This is why the term necromancy comes up a lot in Scripture, is that a romance is a mutual affection and a mutual interest and desire between two beings. They create this necromancy with their victims. And that goes back to the point I said, the people who have been ravaged by these circumstances are ruined for the rest of their lives.
Interesting. Unable to escape it. We've talked to people that have shared, you know, their stories like that, and I've read books like that as well. But before we continue, Frank, we want to go ahead and take a quick break and play a commercial here on Paranormal Horizons. But stay tuned for more conversation with Frank Bennett, author of Encounter with the Aberdeen Wild Man.
Should we keep it on the lighter side this evening? Or?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we're talking about demonic stuff, so let's go lighter.
Yeah, let's not do the Archbishop Ron Fales. That one, yeah. Let's keep it lighter tonight.
All right, so stay tuned. Stay on the line, Frank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you sitting out there lonely and feeling left out? Do you want to be included in the world of the paranormal, but really don't know how? We have the paranormal solution for you. Call us at 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST. We can deliver everything from a timid spirit that walks the halls or one that simply opens a cabinet door. Or you can get a feisty poltergeist that can trash your house and really liven things up. We can get you as many shadow people as you need to have a party. Do you have too many unwanted friends or family just barging in? Our screaming and wailing banshee will guarantee that after hearing some deafening anguish, they will never return. Impress your friends or take revenge with a specter of death hovering over your dinner table or theirs. Or if you're lonely, you might like a simple attachment that follows you everywhere. EVPs? Choose from our line of celebrity voices. What investigator would not want to hear Jim Morrison or Whitney Houston? Or maybe Michael Jackson or Kurt Cobain? Order now and get 3 free orbs. We are 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST. Not responsible for damage caused by poltergeist activity, divorce, loss of job, sleep deprivation, bedwetting, uncontrolled vomiting, suicide, or the possibility of being hospitalized for insanity. And most important, there will be no returns.
There will be no returns.
Oh, I love that commercial. Well, we are back here on Paranormal Horizons, Blog Talk Radio, KITC-FM, and KNCP-FM with our guest, Frank Bennett. Frank, so we wanted to talk with you about your website, Bible Prophecies.
Okay.
Tell us more about that.
Bible prophecy is my first love. My first love is being a Bible teacher. And as you saw by the book, I did not come into this. I wasn't hatched this way. I came into this kicking and screaming. And once I was through the door, I couldn't think of any place else to be. It's what I desire to do day in and day out. But anyways, the formation of it was that back in the late 90s, I began to see events in the world differently, after I was saved. And then I started to want to categorize everything and place things in order. I started my own radio program back in 2000 where I dealt with issues of prophecy and just took events day by day and tried to explain them how they fit into the events to come. And what my website does is that it actually looks for news and events that feed into the final scenarios that will be Bible prophecy. Cool sound effects.
Yeah, I just had to hit that sound effect button. Pat.
That was my phone. Sorry.
You know, sound effects may actually improve my presence.
Oh well, we've got plenty of sound effects. Here's one for you.
Yeah.
Oh man, that poor Peter Mayhew.
So anyway, okay, so prophecy, and then you started tracking news and current events and how it tied into the Bible prophecies, correct?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
So...
I got to know one thing, Pat, because it's freaking me out.
What?
I don't know if you've been watching my Facebook, but I've been having like these dreams of massive earthquakes and volcanoes and tornadoes. I got to know, are we coming to like the end of days? Because it seems like there's a lot of crazy natural... disaster stuff going on.
I don't know. I can't, Frank, what do you think?
Hi. Yeah, we are coming to the end of days. The specific time frame for end of days will occur with an event that's called the rapture. And that's in the book of Thessalonians, First Thessalonians. When those who believe in Jesus Christ hear Christ's voice in the clouds calling them up to meet him in the air. That'll be the beginning of the end of days and what is also called the Great Tribulation, where which these cataclysmic events that Jason was just speaking of shall then begin to befall the earth, because they are actually judgments. It's the judgments that the Lord bestows upon a rebellious and sinful and wicked earth that crucified his son and rejected him in all forms. And so now these judgments will be sent upon the planet.
Well, now, I've been hearing a lot of reports lately. It's not really a new phenomenon, but it's kind of come up again where all over the world people are recording these strange trumpet-like sounds or strange sounds resonating in the sky, and nobody can find out where it's coming from. Could that be a part of the rapture, or I don't know if you know what
I'm
talking
about.
Oh, absolutely
not. The rapture, the reason why we have the word rapture, which does not appear in the Bible, but I would like to point out, I get a lot of grief because the word rapture is not actually in the Bible, so it doesn't happen. But I would like to point out that the word Bible doesn't appear in the Bible either, but as the great poet once said, whoop, there it is. You know, there's the Bible. So the word rapture is actually Latin for snatching away, taking his believers
okay.
up off the face of the earth to meet with him in the clouds. Now, these trumpet sounds that you're hearing, remember that UFOs and angelics can mock and imitate all things in nature and living things. So I believe these are mockeries that people are listening to. Kind of like when you're going to race somebody and somebody just to throw them off says, we go, you know, make them jump.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's all done to deceive people.
So that would be demonic in origin. They're just trying to get people
yes,
distracted, basically.
Hmm.
Absolutely, yes.
That never occurred to me. That's
Frank. So when we enter the rapture, what does that really mean? Does that just mean like a new era? And the world.
According to Scripture, when those who believe in Jesus Christ are raptured up to be with him in the clouds, they shall always be with Jesus, and they will remain with Jesus Christ throughout the entire period of the Great Tribulation here on the planet when the judgments the Lord sends upon the planet take place. And this is when all kinds of badness is going to bust up on the planet. When you do the math of the Great Tribulation, more than one-third of the Earth's population will be destroyed. At the end of that, in the book of Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ returns, riding a white horse with an army of his angels, and those who were raptured up follow with him to do away with those who still remain who are trying to destroy the planet. At that time, once that's done, Jesus will set up his 1,000-year kingdom upon the planet.
So a third of the population is going to die during the tribulation?
During the Great Tribulation hour, yes. Now,
wow.
For anybody following this for reference sake, this would be in the book of Matthew is probably your most pronounced source, book of Matthew chapter 24.
Okay. Chapter 24, okay.
Now, is it just the wicked that are going to die, be the one-third, or is it just generally anybody random?
In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, Jesus actually very plainly states who will and who will not be, and it's all those who do not have the Lamb, their name written into the Lamb's Book of Life. Those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be destroyed.
Well,
and Jesus Christ is the Lamb. So it is his book we're talking about. So if your name's not written in his book, in other words, you're not accounted in his book, you'll be accounted as those who are destroyed.
I just thought of a question. We had a guest on not too long ago who, there have been a lot of sinkholes reported, particularly in places like Russia, just big holes in the earth opening up. And they felt that those were portals for demons to come out of. Is that possible, do you think?
No. The whole thing with portals just makes my mind go crazy. It implies that the spirit world actually has highways and restrictions and walls and forms of restriction of some kind. There is no such thing as a portal. There's only areas of concentration where you'll find more spirits than others. That's all that is. Because you got to remember that there are different levels and classifications to spirits. There are the very much weaker ones, which I refer to in the book as the corporals, or the smaller lieutenants, who have to do things in great numbers in order just to get heard on your EVP devices. And there are the more stronger ones, the colonels and the generals. These are the more powerful demonics who can manipulate the natural forces of this planet, and they can make all of your other detectors go crazy at will.
So what would you say for the ghost hunters? We have a lot of these TV shows out there and paranormal investigators taking these EVP sessions and running out with equipment. I take it that your stance would probably be that that's not advisable, that that can be risky.
Oh, it absolutely is risky, because these things have the ability to climb up inside you and kick your butt from the inside out, and you have absolutely no protection against them of any kind. The greatest service that the paranormal ghost hunting community could do is very much educate people on the dangers of it, and find a way to pursue it with the utmost caution and respect, because when they go into a house and it is occupied by certain spirits, they consider that home theirs. You're in their territory, and if you don't show respect there, they'll pretty much show you the door one way or the other.
Interesting.
So there's no way to protect yourself. I mean, praying, holy water, burning sage,
they're
nothing?
Feckless. Feckless and ineffective. As a matter of fact, one of the quotes I use from Scripture, where Jesus speaks in the book of Matthew, is when a spirit is gone out of a man, when a spirit is ejected from a man or leaves a man on his own accord for a certain reason, it usually will return to the same person if it cannot find a more suitable host or a more suitable area for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, seeking to want to remain longer, it'll bring seven times more spirits than itself. And so the first state of that man is worse off than he was before. So trying to get them out without knowing what you're doing could make a situation seven times worse.
Now, Frank, we've talked to more than one person here on the show that have had experiences where they moved into a home and all kinds of crazy, weird stuff started happening, and then the outcome was they determined that the house was haunted with demonic spirits and, you know, basically a very bad experience. And one of the guys we talked to, he left the home, but then he felt that that demonic spirit followed him.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, actually.
Yeah, and that's Bill Bean.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
well, absolutely. Spirits will use humans as portage. Humans are conveyances for spirits, a lot of times you have to understand something about the spirit world. It only knows what it sees and what it hears. It does not have the abilities of the Lord, who is omniscient and omnipresent in all times. It has to go and look, and it has to sneak into your room and watch and listen what you do to know what you're doing. So for that reason, it can't know what the people are doing in the house next door. It'll have to be either moved there on its own or be transported someplace by another person to get into that house.
I see. Now, as with the demonic spirits, though, as many of them as are out there here in the world, and you said there's many, many, many more than humankind, are there also good spirits?
I hope so.
As many good spirits?
Okay, now you got to think about something for a minute. When you're talking about good spirits, you have to quantify the word good. And in most cases I've examined, it falls in two categories. It's either somebody who didn't do something bad in spirit form, and it was somebody who was familiar to them or gave them a familiar message or did something uplifting for them. Those are the two. There's the two classifications I've seen good spirits appear in. And so this is why in Scripture Jesus says you must try the spirits. You must question them and query them. And because spirits will use this against you and appear in any form they need to manipulate you. And they will even do the appearance of a good work to gain your confidence.
So what's got me confused about this whole thing is, what's the purpose of that? I mean, it seems like we're just put down on this planet to be some sort of, you know, experiment or just, I don't know. I don't even know how to word that. But
yeah, why
we're
are
all
we
just,
here?
We're just kind of like ants to be played with by spiritual forces. What's the purpose of this?
Follow my website, read my book. I explain the whole thing there. You got to understand that the world we live in is not what the Lord made. You want to see what the Lord made, read the book of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The world changed in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam, the caretaker of this whole planet, allowed sin to enter into the world. Sin equals death. And that is when decay and death entered into the world. Not just the people, but the earth itself, the plants, the animals, the trees, the sky. And everything began this process of decay and death. This is when time actually begins. Time equals decay and death. And since then, and since the Lord cannot be in the presence of sin, he had to stand back from man and only interact with man on certain occasions. And this gave the evil, this evil in the spirit world, the opportunity to interact with mankind freely. And this is what you have been living with in one form or another up till the present day, but it does have an end to it. And this is what the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and 19, is all about. This is when Jesus Christ comes back and basically puts an end to all of the evil that stopped this planet for all of these, all this millennium.
There sure has been a lot of evil. Now, we do have a question in chat. What's your stance on psychics? Is it a work of the devil, or is it people with
good
gifts
question
from God?
Okay, now the problem with that is they would not know that answer themselves. And the nature of spirits to deceive makes it twice as difficult to know who you're dealing with. You have to understand, psychics can't see who they're talking to, and you can't check an ID, you know. They can only hear, intimate, and maybe see images in their minds that are given to them. And they have no way of knowing where they're getting their information from, and it could be a lie, and they would have no way of checking it.
True.
Good point.
Because we talk
that,
to a lot
that
of
is
psychics.
That is probably the most honest way of answering that question.
So, but do you believe though, Frank, that people or you know some of the folks that claim that they have the psychic abilities that they are, you know, getting information from a higher
oh, absolutely, they're not
level?
Inventing it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not inventing these things. They're legitimate that way.
Yeah.
The problem is that they've been deceived into believing it is what they have been told it is. If a spirit comes to them and says that I'm your dearly departed grandmother and I've got this information for you, well, how do you check that? How do you check the ID?
Yeah. Well, they can only get validation from the person they're reading. I mean,
it's not like they have their Social Security card.
Yeah, or if the person says, oh, yeah, you know, that sounds like my grandmother. Yeah, that's something my grandmother would have said.
And if the purpose of it is not to deceive, then why do spirits never come to you and answer the great questions? Why must you die? What's it like to be on the other side? What's this like? What's that? What do we do when we die? They never get to get those answers from spirits for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that we come here more than once, that we have more than one human life?
No, man is only permitted one life. The only reason why you have life is because the Lord breathed life into the nostrils of Adam in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And life is passed in the blood, that's the book of Leviticus, passed in the blood from person to person to person up until the present day. Once a person's natural processes have ceased, the breath of life leaves the body and cannot return to the body.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is also true of the animals, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some people believe that, you know, animals come back again and, you know, people come back again, you know, in different bodies.
I would like to believe that. So
lifetimes.
There's no reincarnation? This is
no.
It?
This is it?
This is your one shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we are almost getting to the end of the show. Did RL get a chance to call in?
Yeah, he did, but one of the questions I asked was the question that he had.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so he's not sitting in the queue.
Oh, but, you know, real quick, I better. I didn't finish addressing the sinkhole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but that is a feature story on my webpage. And I've been asking a lot of people at these conferences I go to, do you remember sinkholes when you were growing up? And nobody does. This is a very recent phenomenon, and it's occurring all over the planet. And the only purpose I can see to it, because you got to understand something, as great as our science claims to be, they're still surprised as heck as what still pops up out of the ground and what comes out of the skies and what comes up out of the oceans. They're still being amazed by things. And sinkholes are another thing. They have no idea why they're forming. They'll give you an explanation of what they think they are, but they have no idea why it's suddenly happening or what to do about it. And I believe personally that this is a precursor to another judgment that will come during the tribulation hour. Because mm-hmm. what better way to unseat a wicked and rebellious mankind than to crumble the very foundations he's built his empires upon?
And I did not see that on the webpage. Maybe a higher power got me to ask it. Hopefully a good higher power.
Yeah.
That just popped in my head. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of information on Frank's website, everybody out there. If you want to check into more information about what we're talking about, sinkholes and lots of other,
I would like to get him back on and talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
That's right up my alley.
And really, you know, current events that are happening, which is in the website, just to throw it out there again, is Bible by Bennett, BENNETT.net. And then also you can get Frank's book on all the regular places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, even eBay, and it's Encounter with the Aberdeen Wild Man, A True Story. So, gosh, Frank, we need to have you on again because there's so much to talk about. And
time flies when you're just chock full of information.
I know, and that's why I did want to point out about your book that, yes, it's about the wild man that you encountered, but there's a ton more information in here that is, I just really,
Well, the reason for that is because when I began investigating the wild man, I realized that I couldn't write about the one without writing about the other, because they were all related somehow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the same puppet master works different puppets. You realize after a while that there are common themes and like and similar formats and characteristics here, and you couldn't follow one without following the other, too.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Now, are you planning on writing another book?
Yeah, I'm in the process right now, as a matter of fact, of writing a book I've been wanting to write for a long time. I haven't got a working title, but basically what I do is that I just take all the questions I've ever remember receiving in my whole life regarding faith, scripture, whatever in the Bible, and I provide just straight answers and brief descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got a working title yet. Shoot Bible, off the cuff, God knows what. I'll call it something.
Yeah.
But that'll be out
shortly. Yeah, you'll come up with something good. Now, before we sign off, I wanted to ask you about dark-eyed children. What are they?
I don't remember.
Oh, I said even I think they're demons.
Well, actually, you're dealing with a lesser demonic entity.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all they are. It's just another. Have you noticed that men in black sightings have decreased while black-eyed children and black-eyed people sightings have increased.
Yeah. We've heard a lot more about dark-eyed children. Yeah,
that's really popular right now.
So it's a lower level demonic spirit, because you talked about the
levels of demonic. As I've studied and analyzed each of the encounters, I realized that the point of them was access. You remember the part in the book where I meet the girl with no eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, creepy enough, but that's exactly how it reads to me. It's a method of mesmerization, locking eyes, and transmitting will commands to somebody and getting access to their home and their family. That's all it basically is. And the way they present themselves is a perfect lure.
So, Frank, how can we protect ourselves?
There's got to be a way.
Well, everyone has common sense. That goes without saying. I mean, everybody can defend themselves. That's fine. Of course, you know, I have to tell everybody that without Christ, you have really no solid protection against anything in the paranormal whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to continue to pursue the paranormal, you got to remember that you're dealing with something that does not like you and only wants to use you and abuse you and basically make everything you have theirs. Its ultimate goal is to lead you to your own destruction. So you'll have to be very wide awake and aware. Make sure it answers to you. Question it, query it, challenge it if you have to. Don't pick on it because it will beat you up. Don't try to pick a fight with it. It will beat you up. But you all can defend yourselves up to a certain point before you'll have to take breaks.
Well, I'm kind of glad I don't do paranormal investigations anymore.
Yeah.
At least very often.
I know.
Well, people get, and this is why I talk about levels and degrees to possession. It occurs on various levels, and it isn't an obvious thing when somebody's possessed. Somebody could be full-blown possessed and appear as the most reasonable, rational person you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
My example for that is Judas Iscariot. Satan actually inhabited the body and the person of Judas Iscariot. He walked into the Garden of Gethsemane with the priest at the temple, gave Jesus a kiss, and said, "There he is. Take him away." Head wasn't spinning on his shoulders. Eyes weren't red. Wasn't shooting fire out of his mouth. But he was full on possessed by the chief demonic of them all.
Yeah.
I can think of a few people that I think are possessed.
I know, no kidding. But, you know, Frank, we're running out of time, and we wanted to thank you again for being here on Paranormal Horizons and, you know, sharing your just great knowledge that obviously you've spent your life researching and experiencing. We really appreciate you being on the show. And I did want to mention, if you've got some events coming up as well that are listed on your website. And I know one of them where we may get to see you at is the Port Gamble Ghost Conference in Washington, which is this fall in October.
I know.
October 23rd, 2015. Yes, it's set up at Port Gamble. And it'll be my second trip back to Seattle.
Yeah, so you'll be there. We're going to be there, Paranormal Horizons. And if you want to find out more about Frank, go to his website, which is, just, again, filled with tons of information about current events and how they relate to the Bible, really, the prophecy. So BibleByBennett.net. So, Frank, any closing comments before we sign off?
Well, I got to thank you guys for being professional. I've done a number of radio interviews this year. I would love to make some comments, but some people just don't know how to be professional in this setting. Other people will set up an event for a written interview for you and just forget about you altogether. Other folks don't know how to use their inside voice. So I just want to thank you guys for being professional.
Well, thank you.
We don't judge. We
appreciate
that. We have
an
open mind. We might not agree with everything, but you know, we keep it low key, and
we like to hear it all for sure. Yeah. So, Frank, I will get you the information for the gentleman that won your book. Get his address directly to you to mail to him. Is that the way we're going to do it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. You want to email that to me or just call me back on that?
I've got your email, so I'll just email it to you. And that was a really, really great question.
Yeah, it was a good question.
I feel bummed out that I didn't know the answer because I was a rock and roll DJ. But that's
well, if you weren't giving me dirty looks, I would have Googled it.
I know, I wouldn't let him Google it, Frank. All right, Frank. Well, listen, you have a wonderful evening. We look forward to having you on Paranormal Horizons again and definitely seeing you in the fall.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to it. You all take care now.
All right. Good night, Frank.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night, guys.
Well, that was just fascinating.
The whole gambit of everything. It's really interesting.
And I really encourage folks to get his book because he covers everything.
Dan, you've read it.
So. Yeah. I've read it, and I'm actually going to read it again because I have a tendency to read the book. When I first get it, I'll read it really, really fast, and then I like to go back and, you know, check things. But like I said, he's covered dark-eyed children. He covers Bigfoot, something, Squatch Eyes, you know, all this stuff. And he even talks about everything, you know, how big the paranormal community has gotten now. And he touched on that earlier in our conversation. So I sure do thank him for being here. And don't forget, everyone, you can listen to this show anytime by going to blogtalkradio.com Paranormal Horizons and pulling up the archive. And the show is rebroadcast on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Pacific time on KITCFM.com and KNCPFM.com.
And also check out our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons, on Facebook.
Yes, yes. And again, a big shout out to Frank. And next week, our guest is Medium Sherry. So we're going to be talking with another psychic.
Awesome.
And we'll get to hear kind of how she does it and what she does and all of that good stuff.
And we have a few psychics lined up.
Yeah, Kelly Jo's going to be on again, too. Kelly Jo Monahan. If you want to know, call Kelly Jo.
And you came up with that today.
That's my new slogan.
If you want to know, call Kelly Jo.
Yes. All right. All right. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join Jason Ophir and Pat Rice next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we explore the world of the paranormal. And always be sure to visit us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.